Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Kings. Go on to chapter 6 for a minute. So, 2 Kings chapter 6. It's one of the darker records in the scriptures. But the title of today's teaching is, Why Sit We Here Until We Die? It says in verse 25, by the way, it's just one of my favorites. But it is pretty dark here. But it is a wonderful record of the power of God, of how God works, of how he deals with his men, of how people deal with God. And I just wanted to share it with you here. This is the Syrian army has decided to come and take Samaria, the city of Samaria, and they're going to besiege it. Verse 25 says, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung was 5 pieces of silver. Now, that's an animal feed, you know, the ass's head. You know, you could think of it sort of like as a Brussels sprout, as far as size. And that was 80 pieces of silver, 40. 80 pieces of silver. And then I don't know what dove's dung is, but a quarter of that was 4 pieces of silver. They're starving. Talk about inflation. Right? It says, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. Can you imagine how desperate people get? They're willing to eat their own children. You and I have never been in this place. It says, So we boiled my son, and we did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. And it came to pass that the king heard these words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon his flesh, which represented great mourning. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. I'm going to kill Elijah for this. You know, it's always the prophet's fault. And Elijah sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. By error, the messenger came to him and said to the elders, See, and he said unto the elders, See how this son of a murderer had sent to take away my head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of the master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord, is of Yahweh. What shall I wait for the Lord any longer? Why am I going to wait on the Lord any longer? Then Elijah said, hear you the word of the Lord. You want to hear the word of the Lord? I want you to hear this. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, and in the gates of Samaria. And the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if Yahweh would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. He mocked God. He mocked God's word, and he mocked the man of God. What, are you kidding me? God can't do this. It ain't going to happen. Evil, real evil, is everywhere. Real, true evil is everywhere. It's in our lives today. I'm not eating kids. But I tell you what, you know, they were. They got to that place. I don't think everybody got to that place. I don't know why the king couldn't help her. He still had horses when you read the rest of the record. You know, you depend upon somebody else for your sustenance, you're going to end up starving. You take care of yourself, your relationship with God, your preparation, your thinking, your hard work. Otherwise, you're at the whim of another army, society as a whole, all the rest of it. You're in somebody else's hands. If you expect the government to help, whether it's this king or any other, God tells you in the word, all they're going to do is take care of themselves. Right? And the world we live in is evil. God is the only one who can deliver. The reason that Samaria is in so much trouble is because they've turned away from God. Lock, stock, and barrel. They don't worship the one true God. They don't know his word. They don't want to do it. They didn't want to do it for years. So God sent this judgment. And then all of a sudden, after this event happens, and they say, well, I'm going to kill that prophet because this is of the Lord. That's his prophet. I'm going to kill him and chop his head off. So they sent down the messenger, the guy that's second in charge. The king leans on his hand, sends down this guy. We're going to go get him. And then Elijah says, thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow, all this food's going to be sold for a quarter. Couple of pennies. It's going to be in the gate tomorrow. And then he mocks him. Said, this can't be. This can't be. So I want to take you to a point before we go any further in this. I just want to make a few points. Go to Proverbs. Keep your finger here in Kings. Go to Proverbs here for a second. Chapter 29. See, God's word is true, and you have to pay attention, and you have to listen to it like this is really important. In Proverbs 29:2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You know, it's just the truth. When people are doing the job right, people are doing fine. When people are doing the job wrong or selfishly, they're going to mourn. You know, if you don't have people who are doing things according to God's word, or at least the principles that are in it, you're going to be hard-pressed. And you can go from nation to nation to nation to nation around the world. They're all different. They're different languages, different laws, different everything, right? You have places that are abundant in resources and yet very poor because of corruption and all the rest of it. You have places that are not so hot, you know, but they're doing just fine. It's a matter of what's going on and how are people living and acting. But don't rely upon anyone else. You have your relationship with God Almighty. He provides. He is the one who loves. And your strength is in Him. Not in anything or anybody else. There are scriptures that say, don't trust in the horse or the chariot. Don't trust in your weapons, for the Lord is with you. And a lot of the great believers, that's what they did. They trusted in the Lord and not in anything else. Just something I wanted to point out in Colossians chapter 3, in case you just think this is Old Testament stuff. In Colossians chapter 3. See, I'm not smart enough. I know that there are some preachers out there. They want to tell you, oh, this is of God and that's of God and this is God's judgment here and this is... No, I'm sorry. Unless the Lord tells me exactly what's what, like He does Elijah, I can't tell you that. I just know it's true from the great truth of the Scripture. And in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 6, it says, "For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." What are we talking about here? Verse 5. Blow up there, mortify therefore your members upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, covetousness, which is idolatry. See, because the wrath of God comes upon the people who practice those things. That is today. That is back then. It's going to be after I'm dead and gone until the Lord returns. It's the truth. And if they don't get caught in this lifetime, they certainly will get caught at the final judgment. Everything comes out in the wash. Nobody escapes this. Samaria had turned itself away from God to such a degree that they were held captive by the Syrian army. And God works in nations. Throughout the Scripture, you can read it page after page. He sends this one to judge that one. He sends this one to take care of this particular problem. He sends His people out to go take care of business for Him someplace else. He's anointing kings that are all over the Middle East with His prophets. God's involved. What's He doing? I don't always know. But I know this much. My Father in Heaven's involved. Okay. Back to Kings. So this guy, the leader, the man who mocks Elijah. He makes this statement. How can this thing be? Now, in any crisis or any other particular place, and you'll see this in your daily life, and I certainly see it in mine, whenever you speak the truth of God's word, all right, when you speak the truth of God's word, there's always somebody that say, that's impossible. You're a lunatic. You believe in fairy tales. That's the first reaction from the unbeliever. This is not possible. How is that so? You hear this all the time. I hear it. You know? And that's going to hit you in the face every time you stand up for God. You say to somebody, oh, you're not feeling well, can I pray for you? I remember this not long ago. That don't work. I prayed for him anyhow. But the point, you know, he didn't believe it worked. And he wasn't real shy about telling me that it was a fairy tale, in his own words. This happens all the time. So Elijah makes this statement. He says, this food is going to be sold tomorrow in this starving city where people are eating their children for a few shekels, 25 cents. So this guy, he did what he did. He sat there. And then the story switches. In verse 3, it says, and there were four leprous men. Now, lepers are individuals who are really in rough shape, aren't they? They're falling apart. They're diseased. Their flesh is falling off of them. Nobody wants to hang out with lepers. They throw them out of the city. The city's under a siege. And they throw them on the outside because we don't want to catch leprosy. Right? They don't want, and if things were good, they wouldn't let them in the city either. So they're outcast. They're devastated. They're thrown out. They're not cared for. They're four leprous men. And they entered at the gate, and they said one to another. So they're hanging out by the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Now, this is logical, right? What are my options? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. Let's go to the enemy camp. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die anyhow. Now, this is just you thinking through your options. You don't have many good ones. But here it is, God shows us these four men that are really in desperate situation. They're thinking through their thing. And then, so they go, verse 5, and they arose at twilight, and they go into the camp of the Assyrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians. So, and they come upon us. Wherefore they arose and they fled at twilight. And left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and filled, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came into the innermost part of the camp. They went into one tent, and they did eat and drink. They had plenty. They did eat and drink. I bet you that must have been, whoa, we hit the jackpot. And they carried silver and gold and raiment, and they went and they hid it, because that's what you got to do, right? You go in, you hit yourself a bundle. You've just made yours, whoa, we are cool here. We got to hide this stuff because we don't want nobody taking it away from us. And they hid it, and they came again. They entered into another tent, and they carried also. Thence carried also, and they went and hid it. And they said one to another, now they got an entire camp, thousands of men. It's empty. They left everything. So they went and said, we do not well. This is not good that we do. We do not well this day. It's a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We haven't told anybody. And if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief might come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and they called unto the potter of the city, the guy running this town, and they told him, saying, we came unto the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of a man, but horses tied and asses tied in tents. And they called the potter, and they told it to the king, and the king's house within. And you know what the king thought? This is a trap. We don't want to do this. This is a trap. They just left the camp so that we could think that it's over. They'll get us out of the city and they'll kill us. Very logical. Wrong, but very logical. All that's going on here, God gave a word to the prophet. About this time tomorrow, all this food's going to be sold for coins, shekels. I just think about shekels like quarters. All right, pieces of silver like silver dollars. But regardless how much exactly it is, it's greatly reduced in price. Then God has, he takes our attention and puts it on four lepers. And what he's doing with them. Because guess what? Lepers are working for the Lord here. I mean, they've been starving for a week. They just decided this now. And they finally come to themselves. This is my options. Let's go to the Assyrian camp. Just in the nick of time for this prophecy to come to pass. See, this is how God Almighty does his stuff. I can't explain it, but I can see it. He takes four desperate people who are sick as sick can be, who've just decided to come to themselves and say, why sit we here until we die? And they go, they eat, they have everything that they need, they go and hide the wealth that they find in the tents, and then they come to a conscious, like, hey, nobody was taking care of us, why are we going back to them? They just have this sense that we're not doing well. We got to spread this and tell the others. Now, do you think the people in that town deserved it? They didn't take care of these folks. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with what God's working and what God's impressing upon these four men. the prophet spoke. You know, there are many individuals who claim that, oh, the Lord spoke to me. Let me just tell you something about this, all right? It won't take a lot of time. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, God says, you're going to have people who are going to tell you that they're talking on my behalf. They call themselves prophets. And then they're going to mislead you away from me. Don't go with them. Don't go with them because it sounds good. Because I'm trying you, whether you love me or not. See, you have to know enough about God and His Word to know the difference between this is the way it should be and this is not true. And just because somebody rolls around, the Lord has spoken to me. And he's hooping and hollering and all the rest. Don't mean nothing unless it lines up with Scripture. And unless it glorifies the one true God. And in Jeremiah it says, if the prophet speaks unto you and the words don't come true, don't pay him no mind. Deuteronomy says, you ought to get this guy and kill him. We don't do that anymore. Point is, there are false prophets and there are good. How do you know what I'm talking to you is true or not true? I'm reading this with you. You got a brain in your head. You got to figure out. This is just to entice you to think. This is just to help you to think. Maybe things you haven't thought about in a while. Maybe things that will help you. Maybe there'll be something in this teaching that I'm doing today that'll inspire you. But it's on you. I'm just reading and bringing up things. You're the one that's got to have, you got God in Christ in you. You're the one that's got to think and discern the truth from the error. Nobody's perfect. I do my best. Nobody's perfect. When the prophet got that word from God, God was going to make things happen. And he's got four lepers. Figure it out, fellas. What are your options? Best one you got, go to the Syrian camp. Whoa, did they do anything to change the Syrians' mind? The Syrians were gone. Why? Because God had the sound effect of an army that scared the pants off of this army, and they ran for their lives at twilight and left all their stuff. Now, you would think that they would get on their horse and leave. They were so afraid that they couldn't even think. And they're gone. And they ain't coming back. So the king, they come back and they tell the king. And the king thinks, oh, this is a trick. And then the guy says, send somebody out to go look. So he gets his horses together, and they go out there, and they say, yep, they're gone. And all the people hear about this. Now, the man, got the prophet told, just to cut the story here, I want to go on to other things. But that man that leaned, the king leaned on his hand, his right-hand man, we'd say that. The prophet says, you're going to see this. He mocked God. He mocked the word. He was the one that mocked him. And he says, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to eat of it. You know what happened? The city found out, and this guy was in the gate, and the people trampled him to death. He didn't eat a little bit of that. And they were selling all this food for just about nothing. God can do anything God wants to do. And you'll always have people say, that's not possible. How about when Mary, the angel came to Mary, and he says, you're going to have a baby. And she says, how's this going to be? In Luke, go to Luke chapter 1. Here you got a little girl, you know, a beautiful, young, and we're talking about young here. She's probably 15, thereabouts. Probably younger. An angel shows up, Luke chapter 1, verse 37. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible, the angel says to her. She says, how is this going to be? I've never known a man. And the angel tells her, Holy Spirit's going to come over you, and you're going to conceive. You're going to call this child Jesus. Got nothing to do with the names of your dad, mom, anything in the family. This is what his name's going to be. And verse 35, the angel said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And for proof for this, Mary, your cousin, she's an old lady. She's 6 months pregnant. And Mary goes up to her house. But with God, nothing is impossible. God can change the entire program of this nation or any other, or your life or your household in one day or less. See, with God, nothing is impossible. I really believe that. Mary believed it. She's going to do something. Nobody else has ever even thought about this. You're going to get pregnant and never having known a man. And she says, be it unto me according to thy word. There's always going to be those, the stuff in the Bible, it's fairy tale, foolishness, wishful thinking. I don't believe that. I believe that those people are wrong. And those that mock God will eventually pay for it. I don't care who you are, where you've been, how nice a person you are. That's the truth. That's what I believe. That's what the scripture talks about. At the same time, anybody who just shuts up and turns to God and says, I believe, he accepts. He places his spirit within you. He seals it. You are his child. Now your job is to stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Just trust him. You walk and live like Jesus with kindness, mercy, love. If they want to go to hell, they're going to go. You don't have to push them there. You try to keep them out. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He pleaded with the Pharisees. He pleaded with the religious leaders. He pleaded with the publicans and the sinners. He loved them. He cared for them. He watched over them. He guided them. And he pleaded with them, and many of them said, "Ah, this is, who is this guy?" They hated him so much they wanted to kill him from the beginning of his ministry, and they finally crucified him. But that was all in God's plan too. See, God's involved. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." God has done absolutely marvelous, wonderful things. Most of you have been with me here in fellowship for many years. You all know these things. I'm not teaching you anything new. Go to Romans chapter 3. But I want to ask you a question, because this is something that I think this record, one of the reasons why I wanted to go to this record in 2 Kings. And I'm going to ask you, why sit we here until we die? You are like these lepers. You are like these lepers. The world don't like you. All right? Anybody want to say that you're the one that's going to get the award? The world don't like you. The world don't like me. I didn't do nothing. You know, I go and share something with somebody. Dismiss. You know, that's the least of it. Come on, don't talk to me anymore. Sometimes it's worse. There are brothers and sisters that we have around the world that are being killed because they're holding forth the scriptures. Just like our Lord was. I've never suffered that. But I know it's possible. Just like the lepers back there nobody wanted to deal with. Those guys had a message. And they couldn't, in their conscience, they couldn't keep it to themselves. And the world don't like you. It ain't done you no favors. Hadn't done me any. Hadn't paid my bills. Hasn't exactly been, take the Apostle Paul, it wasn't exactly a non-bumpy ride for him. First time he went to Damascus after he got illuminated and he met the Lord on the way to Damascus. First time, you know, he goes blind. This wasn't fun. All right. Ananias comes in. Hey, prays for him, gets healed. He goes into town. He starts preaching and they want to kill him. The other people in the town got to let him down off the wall with ropes because they want to take his life because he's convincing people that Jesus is the Christ. He spent the rest of his life in ministry going from place to place being persecuted, working hard for the Lord. He had a message to deliver. And it didn't matter what the world thought, didn't matter whether he felt accepted, whether his feelings were right or wrong. He was working for his Father. He knew God was working in him to willing to do of his good pleasure. He knew that the message that he had was one God wanted him to deliver. Just like Elijah. Nobody chopped Elijah's head off. God had a plan. He had something that had to happen. Well, you got really good news to tell people. You are very wealthy people. You are the children of the living God. You've got the Spirit of God within you. You've got God's promises. You've got His truths. You've got a hope in front of you. You have so, so, so very much. So you got to ask yourself, why sit we here until we die? Just get up and go. Let's see what God will do. In Romans chapter 3, the things that we have to tell people. Romans chapter 3. The good news. You know, that's why they call the gospel the good news. We got a message. In chapter 3, verse 21, it says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Everything that we have learned in our study of the New Testament is witnessed in the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. We've been justified by His gift. It's a grace gift. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be the payment, the propitiation, the payment, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Almighty God, the Father, is the just one. That's it. He's the King of the universe. He's the just one. He doesn't ask you what you think. He's never asked for my opinion. I know exactly what He thinks of it. It's up to me to believe what He says. He is the one who has sent His Son into this world. He is the one who sent His Son, and He accepted the sacrifice of His Son with His blood to justify you, and that is a gift from Him. Jesus was the redemption. He was the payment for you and I. Now, there are people out there who don't want, I don't need that. I don't need a Savior. I need anybody. I was like that once upon a time in life. You know, I got it all taken care of. God was amazing. He touched my heart. He touched my life with His word. He humbled this man. When I was very young, He humbled me. And I've never turned back since. I haven't done it straight, and I haven't done it perfectly, but I've never turned back since. He justifies you. And you know what justification means? It means that when you stand before the throne of God, and you stand before the judgment bench, every idle word is going to be read off. Every deed that you've ever done, it's going to, you know, just like imagine it be on the TV set. The whole thing. And I am going to know that I don't deserve eternity. I can tell you I am convinced I do not deserve eternity. Then my advocate, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to walk up to the bench and He's going to say, Father, I paid for that. And Almighty God is going to say, you are justified and freed of all charges. That's what justification means. You didn't earn it. You didn't get good at it. Somebody else paid the price, and you're set free. Because I don't deserve to be there. I'm one of those lepers. Rotten to the core. And the only thing I did was come to myself one day and turn to the Lord. And now it's my job to hold forth the message. That's why I wanted to read that record today. Go to Ephesians. Or go to Romans 5. There's something else a lot of people don't think about. In Romans 5, verse 9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. You know what that says? The wrath of God that's coming upon the ungodly, you'll be saved from that. That's coming if you read the last book in the Bible. It's going to hit hard. You're saved from it. It's one of the gifts, one of the great pieces of good news that you have, that you can spread around to others. You want to be saved from that? Then believe the gospel. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself before Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 1. We got other pieces of good news to share. And like I said, I know you guys know these things. I'm just trying to salt your oats to think about them. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. No, that's not possible. You'll have a lot of people say that. What does it say? What does the word of the Lord say? It says he has blessed us with all. What does the word all mean? All. Are you lacking any? Let's get it straight. The prophet's words came to pass. You know he's from God. All right? The Apostle Paul delivered these from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that they have the same? Do you believe that the word of God, just like you heard in the manifestations, is my word? It's coming to pass. Nothing will prevent. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. And there are so many Christians out, oh, I don't have this. Is the Lord in my life? Listen, you just got to suck it up and believe it. You have to just truly turn off your own negative. This is impossible. I don't feel like it. You don't live by your feelings. You don't live by what you see. You don't live by the world and the senses realm. You live by the truth that the word speaks, and you choose to discipline yourself to believe it. Otherwise, forget about it. Just go live like a good heathen, have a good time for a while, because it's coming to an end. It's one or the other. You don't want to be hot and cold. You don't want to be lukewarm. Do you believe that God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings? That they're yours. They're already given. You know, if I got stuff. I don't have no money in my pocket. I got a car key. All right, I got a car key. If I didn't know I had that key in my pocket, could I drive the car? No. I wouldn't go to the car. I wouldn't try. Now, if I got the key in my pocket, I can choose not to drive the car. There we get back like the lepers here. Or I got the key in my pocket. We'll take a chance. We'll take the car for a drive. My choice. But if you don't know you got something that God has given you, guess what? You'll never walk out on it. And most people don't know Scripture. Most people don't know what it, and they certainly have believed the lie that this is just a collection of what men say. Nice old guys, lived centuries ago, wrote down pretty things, some of them. Some of them wrote down horrible things. Mama's eating babies. But it's all fairy tale. You got to get way past that. You, nobody else, you. You got to choose. See, it says in verse 4, He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Are you chosen? If He chose you, guess what? You're chosen. I was always the guy that was last on when they chose teams. You know, nobody wanted this. I was big, gawky, uncoordinated. None of my friends wanted McCabe. Don't feel sorry for me. It worked out okay. Some of those guys are dead. Look at what it says, verse 5, you're predestined. Now, I know Christians got this thing all. It says you're predestined us to the adoption of children. He has predetermined, long before you believed, He was going to give mankind all spiritual blessings for the people who believed. He was going to give mankind, He was going to choose them. And He was going to predestine them to be His adopted child. And that's what we are. This is all what God has done. Look at verse 11. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Do you know that you got an inheritance? Most people think I'm broke. You've got an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. God has decided what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and nobody is going to change it. It doesn't matter whether you believe or don't believe. It's coming to pass. If you choose to believe, you come along for the ride. If you don't, your choice. Everybody chooses. We are predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token. It's the token, the Holy Spirit that we have. The power of the Holy Spirit that we have is a token. It's like an engagement ring. It's the promise of something that's coming. It's the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. When the Lord comes back, we get the whole package. We get new bodies. We get new minds. We got eternal life. It says, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You can't think about it. You can't dream big enough about it. That's what it says. That's what I choose to believe. How about you? This is all personal responsibility. You choose to read these words. They're all in English. In fact, you can get this Bible in just about every language on the earth. There ain't no excuse. That's the truth. There's going to be an awful lot. Chapter 2, just want to bring a few things. Verse 7. Look at what God says here. Do you and I have a good message to tell people? Do we? See, I know I was one of them lepers. I know where my life started. I know where it went. I know what God's done. I owe him everything. He's given me riches. He's provided for me. And I got a message to deliver. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And now it's God in Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. But you are here instead of him to reconcile mankind back to him. And will they like you? No. Will they, oh, what a man or a woman of God I have in front of me. No, not the way it works. They say, no, I don't want that. And then you'll have the others, oh, let me one-up you. Remember, you meet the Christians? Oh, let me tell you about what I learned today. Oh, let me tell you what I learned. And they do the one-up thing. Listen. The games people play, you're here to deliver a message. You find somebody who already knows it, then move on to somebody who don't. Don't get caught up. You got somebody resist it, then you speak it to them, wipe the dust off your feet, the Lord said, move on. Just keep delivering the message. It's not going to be pretty. Once in a while, you will have the great joy. Once in a while. Once in a while, you'll see God do a great thing, and an entire city will turn, like you saw in the first century. But then you had men and women who believed the truth, who did the truth, who had the power of God in their life, and knew it. That's what we need today. We need men and women who know that God's going to work within me to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's going to give me the words to speak. He's going to be the one that's going to work on this individual's heart. He's the one that's going to send. And he'll show me what to do when the time comes. This is the main job God wants us to do. Do you think he's not going to do that? All you got to do is be a willing participant. Most people don't believe, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Yeah, you're right. You're not good enough, and you are not smart enough, and neither is your pastor. There's none that good. We ain't Jesus, but we have him within us. Do you see me? We have him in us, and he works within us. All I have to do is allow him to do it. So, I think I'm going to leave it there. That's what I wanted to share with you today.